This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Great news.
There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Trump meets with justice officials. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Tuesday, May 22nd. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
President Trump met with top Justice Department officials about the use of a confidential informant in the initial investigation into Russian meddling. Hear the outcome.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has outlined U.S. demands for a new Iran nuclear agreement.
The father of the Santa Fe High School shooting suspect says his son was mistreated and bullied.
And are small business employees losing perks like client parties and tickets to sporting events?
What it also did is set up some new limits on deductions for, we'll call them perks, lots of people like. This includes sporting tickets, certain kinds of meals, also employee transportation benefit.
Wall Street Journal reporter Ruth Simon on the impact of newly lost tax breaks. Her report in about 20 minutes. President Trump has held a sit-down with top Justice Department officials about the use of a confidential informant in the initial probe of Russian meddling in the 2016 election, following yesterday's meeting, which included Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein and FBI Director Christopher Wray. The White House endorsed the department's previous decision to refer the matter to its inspector general. The Wall Street Journal says officials also agreed that White House Chief of Staff John Kelly would review classified information related to the Russia investigation. Meanwhile, former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie is among Republicans warning that Mr. Trump's new stance on the probe could backfire.
I've told him many times that there's no way to make an investigation like this shorter, but there's lots of ways to make it longer.
Mr. Trump tweeted Sunday that he would officially demand that the Justice Department look into, quote, whether or not the FBI and or justice infiltrated or surveilled the Trump campaign for political purposes. New details have emerged about the efforts to confront a teenager accused of opening fire at a school outside Houston Friday. CBS News says as terrified students ran away from Santa Fe High School, police and SWAT teams arrived 4 minutes after being alerted. Police took cover in a hallway even as the shooter continued firing at them from inside a classroom. The gunman finally surrendered unharmed. School District Police Chief Walter Braun.
We'll be providing additional security at all campuses with the assistance of the Texas DPS as well as other local law enforcement agencies.
10 people were killed and at least 13 others were hurt, including a school resource officer who's in ICU. Authorities say they don't have a motive, though the suspect's father believes his son was mistreated and bullied at school. 17-year-old suspect Demetrius Pogortsis is in jail under suicide watch. 10 white crosses were placed at a memorial outside the school yesterday. The Trump administration says any new agreement with Iran would require that country to stop enriching all uranium and halt its support for militant groups in the region. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo yesterday spelled out 12 requirements for a new agreement with Tehran that would require a wholesale change in Iran's military posture in the Middle East.
Iran must end its threatening behavior against its neighbors, many of whom are U.S. allies. This certainly includes its threats to destroy Israel and its firing of missiles into Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates. It also includes threats to international shipping and destructive cyber attacks.
In return for agreeing to an accord on nuclear and regional issues to replace the 2015 Iran nuclear deal, Mr. Pompeo said the U.S. would lift the punishing economic sanctions it is now moving to impose, restore diplomatic and commercial ties, and allow Iran to have access to advanced technology. Iran denounced the new demands, saying, quote, "The world of today doesn't accept that the U.S. decides for the world." It is 10 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Hey, glad you're with us. Welcome into Tuesday. With less than 2 years under his belt, President Trump has managed to make a substantial imprint on the U.S. judicial system. one that could be felt for decades to come by getting the Senate to confirm key judicial nominees. This despite Senate Democrats dragging their feet politically. More from Melissa Quinn, reporter at the Washington Examiner. Melissa, explain.
So what we have really seen over the last, I guess it's been a little over a year now from the president, is 14 different waves of judicial nominees. That's both to the federal appeals courts and the federal district courts. And what we've seen from the Senate, definitely working hand in hand with the White House, is 21 of those appellate court judges have been confirmed. And that is since the president took office in January 2017. That's really quite a stunning number. I'm sure that many have seen the headlines from last year, just before the end of 2017, when the Senate confirmed, I think the total number was 12 or 13, of the president's nominees to the appeals courts, and that set a record for any president's first year in office. So we've seen an incredible number, an incredible amount of work from both the White House and Senate Republicans in terms of getting these judges confirmed.
Wow. How many more appointments could he possibly make?
I believe to the federal appeals courts, there are 14 current vacancies. I think that's 14 current vacancies, and 7 are currently pending. But when we look at the broader issue of these judicial nominees, there are currently 80 that the president has nominated that are in the pipeline in the Senate. So that's between the appeals courts, the district courts, and the U.S. Court of Federal Claims. So that's a huge number of judges that the Senate, that really the president is just waiting for the Senate to act on.
I was going to say, Senate Democrats are in no hurry to help, correct?
Yeah, that's very true. We've heard this line from the president and from Senate Republicans a lot, really accusing Democrats of being obstructionists. What we're seeing them do is really drag out and take advantage of the Senate rules. So they're really dragging out the nomination process. There have been calls both from the president, but I think it was a few weeks ago, and now just last week we saw a number of Senate Republicans, 16 total, call for Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, to keep the Senate in nights, keep the Senate in weekends, and through their August recess to not only take up and act on some of these nominees, but also work on passing a budget. So we are hearing these calls now from Republicans in the Senate to stay in longer and really put the pressure on Democrats in terms of how they're using these Senate rules to their advantage to really slow walk this nomination process.
Wow. We're speaking with Melissa Quinn, reporter at the Washington Examiner. She's written a piece entitled Trump's Stealth Victory, Reshaping the Courts. He's also got eyes on that 9th District in San Francisco, right? 9th District Appeals Court?
Yes, we have heard the president criticize the Ninth Circuit often. He says it's one of the most liberal appeals court in the country. This is sort of an interesting position for the president to be in. The Ninth Circuit has 7 vacancies right now. That's a significant number. And there is an opportunity for the president there to fill those vacancies and sort of shift, not a really significant shift, but to really make an impact on the ideological leanings of the court. Now, this is where he is going to run into trouble, though, because we've seen the strategy from the White House early on is really filling those vacancies in the conservative appeals courts. Those have jurisdiction over states with at least one Republican senator. So you know that there's going to be agreement on the judges that the president is going to nominate. That's really not the case in the Ninth Circuit. There are several states that have 2 Democratic senators. And in California alone, which has 3 seats on the Ninth Circuit, they have 3 of those vacancies. So the White House is really going to have to work with Dianne Feinstein and Kamala Harris, the state's 2 Democratic senators, to potentially come to some sort of an agreement on a judicial nominee. If they don't, we could see another instance, which we have seen 2 other times, or 3 other times now, where Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Chuck Grassley may go ahead and hold hearings for nominees if they don't basically have the approval from the 2 home state senators. So what we're seeing from the president now is entering this new territory where he is going to be naming judicial nominees or nominating judicial nominees in states where there are 2 Democratic home state senators, and there may not be a lot of agreement there.
Thanks, Melissa. Melissa Quinn, reporter at the Washington Examiner. This portion of the program is brought to you by LifeLock. Hey, it's a fact. Our devices are vulnerable to cyber criminals. And if you're concerned your devices have been hacked, look for these signs. Does your device restart on its own? Is it running slower than normal? Are any programs running that you don't recognize? Are there posts, say, on your social media that you didn't create? Hackers are sneaky. So stay vigilant. There are so many threats in today's connected world, and it just takes one weak link for criminals to get in. Good thing new LifeLock Identity Theft Protection adds the power of Norton Security to help protect against threats to your identity and your devices that you can't easily see or fix on your own. If you have a problem, LifeLock has agents who will work to fix it. This is the type of security plan that helps you sleep better at night. I use it. No one can stop every cyber threat, prevent all identity theft, or monitor transactions at all businesses, but new LifeLock with Norton Security is able to uncover threats you might otherwise miss. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use the promo code Gordon for an extra 10% off your first year. Again, 10% off at LifeLock.com with the promo code Gordon. That's LifeLock.com and the promo code Gordon. It's 20 minutes after the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
According to ratcheting up pressure on the Russian investigation, the White House says top FBI and Justice Department officials have agreed to meet with congressional leaders and review highly classified information the lawmakers have been seeking on the handling of the probe. The agreement came after President Trump made an extraordinary demand that the Justice Department investigate whether the FBI infiltrated his presidential campaign. New York Senator Chuck Schumer says the president is overstepping.
The president's demand is a blatant abuse of executive power, an ill-informed, sloppy attempt to discredit the duly constituted investigation led by the special counsel.
It's unclear exactly what lawmakers will be allowed to review or if the Justice Department will be providing any documents to Congress. A Baltimore County police officer was killed in a confrontation yesterday afternoon as she responded to a call in Perry Hall, setting off an hours-long manhunt for suspects as police searched densely populated suburban neighborhoods. The search left nearly 2,000 students stranded in their schools well into the evening as police looked for the suspects, considered armed and dangerous, Maryland Governor Larry Hogan.
This is a bad time in the United States for law enforcement and the attacks that are occurring.
Police would not confirm what types of injuries were suffered by the officer, a four-year veteran. A witness saw the officer, whose name was not released, get hit by a vehicle. A small group of foreign journalists has arrived in North Korea to cover the dismantling of the country's nuclear test site, but South Korean media were left behind. Pyongyang is allowing the limited access to publicize its promise to halt underground tests and launches of intercontinental ballistic missiles ahead of a leadership summit. The exclusion of the South Koreans is a troubling sign of discord. They're called Frozen Treats Forever, the Postal Service's newest stamps, and these will have a twist. They're scratch and sniff stamps that smell like popsicles. Each of the stamps features an image of popsicles in various forms, ranging from fruity to chocolate. The exact scent will be the same for all stamps and will be announced with the launch of the stamps on June 20th.
Wow. There's a generation probably among us that doesn't know what a stamp is.
Or scratch and sniff.
Who or does scratch that and sniff, perhaps. Yeah. So the Postal Service spending a little more money to make these stamps that fewer and fewer people use.
Mm-hmm.
That's the cynic in me.
Yes, it is.
Is there strawberry cheesecake, by the way?
I'm going to buy them.
23 minutes after the hour.
I'm not going to share them with you either.
On this morning, America's First News. Time for a small business update, and it's brought to you by Staples. Staples helps you keep your ink stocked and your business moving all year long. Staples has a huge selection of ink and toner, so you'll find your ink in stock every time and at a low price every day. Staples. It's pro time. Small business owners are responding to changes in the tax law that reduce or eliminate some popular deductions for meals, entertainment, and transportation, though many of the fine points are unclear. It's a story by Wall Street Journal senior special writer Ruth Simon. Ruth, what's up here?
So the new tax law did a couple things. One thing it did on the side that makes many business owners happy is that it cut rates, but what it also did is set up some new limits on deductions for, we'll call them perks, lots of people like. This includes sporting tickets, certain kinds of meals, also employee transportation benefits. And so one of the things that's happening as a result of that is many business owners, and particularly small business owners, are taking a close look at their spending, and if it's not fully, if it's not deductible, if they're not getting as much of a deduction or any deduction now, they're thinking hard about whether they want to continue making that outlay.
Wow. All right. So small businesses are disproportionately affected here?
I think all kinds of businesses are going to look at their spending, but there are a couple of reasons that small businesses are the first to react. First of all, for most big companies, they're set up as something called a C-Corp, and their tax rate was reduced to 21%. And that means the value of the deductions is worth less than it was. Most small businesses are set up as something called a pass-through, which basically means that taxes are paid through the owner's returns, and they're taxed at top rates of 29.6% to 37%, which makes them more sensitive to the changes. Small businesses also tend to respond more quickly and be more sensitive to tax rate changes and to operate with thinner margins. So they're the first ones who are giving this a hard look.
Well, we're speaking with Wall Street Journal senior special writer Ruth Simon. She's written a piece entitled Season Tickets, Steak Dinners, Small Firms Rethink Client Events After Losing Tax Break. Well, I forget which one it was, but I think there was a company you said already like or had cut expenses on that type of stuff by 70% through the first quarter.
Right. I had a company called Talent Resources, which is a celebrity influencer marketing firm, which does a lot of entertaining. And there's a real question about what of those expenses were going to be deductible. And so instead of taking clients out for dinner or drinks for nice meals, what they've done is they're starting to do mixers in their corporate office. They bring in a bartender, the interns plan the events, and spending is way down. They seem to be happy. It's, you know, what you find is small businesses are trying to adapt. Now, I will say some business owners are going to look at their spending and they're going to say this provides value, but others will not. One of the other things that we've seen is a lot of business owners taking a real hard look at their sporting tickets.
Thanks, Ruth. Wall Street Journal senior special writer Ruth Simon. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. If you were fumbling around in the dark and someone handed you a flashlight, you'd take it, right? Nobody wants to be left in the dark. But shouldn't it be the same when it comes to spotting threats to your identity and the data on your devices? The digital world is so full of connections, it may only take one weak link for criminals to get in. Fortunately, new LifeLock Identity Theft Protection now adds the power of Norton Security to shed light on more of today's threats. Threats to your identity, like your personal info for sale on the dark web, and threats to your computer or tablet, like ransomware. Of course, no one can prevent all identity theft or cybercrime, but new LifeLock with Norton detects a wide range of threats to your identity and devices that you may not see on your own. Join now, and for the first year, get an additional 10% off the low starting price of $7.99 a month, plus applicable taxes. Go to LifeLock.com today and enter the promo code Gordon. That's LifeLock.com and the promo code Gordon.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Glad you could spend some time with us on this Tuesday, May 22nd. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. The U.S. outlines demands for a new agreement with Iran. Trump meets with South Korea's president today ahead of the summit with North Korea. Georgia, Kentucky, and Texas hold primaries today. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg discusses his data scandal with European officials today. 20-year-old Iowan Maddie Poppy is your new American idol. Google introduces YouTube Music today, new streaming service. And the Texas teen whose good deed has gone viral. That story in about 20 minutes. There doesn't seem to be much the Vegas Golden Knights are doing wrong right now. On Sunday, the first-year expansion team bounced the Winnipeg Jets in the Western Conference Final to reach the Stanley Cup Final. To put it in perspective, a team that did not exist at this time last year is four wins away from hockey's greatest prize. On top of that, Wall Street Journal sports writer Jason Gay says Vegas' arena looks like the most rocking place in sports. Jason, what a story.
Well, Gordon, you and I made a terrible mistake this fall when we saw that number on the casino books, 500-1 for the Las Vegas Golden Knights to win the Stanley Cup. They are four wins away, and Gordon, we would have really been in the money had that happened. Nobody saw this coming, though, including the local books. A year ago, Gordon, I was in Las Vegas to meet with the marketing team of the Golden Knights. Very smart people, love the city, love their people, felt the hockey had a bright future in Vegas, and I got in the car afterwards, and I was like, these people are nuts. This thing may never work. And boy, was I wrong. You know, Vegas flew out of the gate early, had a great start, stayed consistent, and here they are knocking on the door of being the first expansion team to ever win a Stanley Cup. You know, the Blues have been here. I believe it was the Toronto. They weren't even the Maple Leafs. There was something like that in 1918. This is real history here. You know, they're sitting around waiting right now for the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Caps to finish up.
As smart and as nice as the marketing folks probably were, did they wind up convincing you that Vegas was actually a good location for an expansion hockey team?
I just had this impression, Gordon, you know, and I think a lot of people who are just, you know, 48-hour visitors think of Vegas as being the Strip.
Yeah.
You know, it's a place where you go to see Carrot Top and Wayne Newton and Blue Man Group and maybe have a nice dinner and lose a little money and buy yourself a nice pair of shoes. Great town to visit, but not necessarily a place that would be the kind of backbone sports town that you need to have a successful franchise. And man, was I wrong. I mean, they had the numbers in front of them. They were sitting there saying, like, look, this town is a lot bigger than gambling. There are a lot of people here who are hungry for this. Again, though, I don't think even they would have predicted the kind of blast off that they had this year. I mean, this is just ridiculous.
This is a bunch of players, largely, that other teams didn't want. How'd they get so good?
They are literally a team that other teams did not want. They have what's called an expansion draft. They had it last year. And that's the crazy thing, Gordon. The Golden Knights as a roster did not exist this time last year. But what they do is they have an expansion draft. They do not, you know, they allow teams to protect a certain number of their players. So, you know, here are your X amount of guys that you want to keep, and here are a few people you're going to expose and allow an expansion team to pluck off. So it was basically this potluck for the Golden Knights. Put this together, a lot of young guys, talented veteran goalie in Marc-Andre Fleury, but again, no one looked at that team in June and said, wow, we got a Stanley Cup contender here. The Knights themselves are saying, look, it's going to take us 4, 5, 6 years to get where we want to get. They were picked to finish last by ESPN, picked to finish last by Hockey News, picked to finish last by USA Today. This has just shocked everybody.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal sports writer Jason Gay. He's written a piece entitled Rookie Vegas Golden Knights Hit the Jackpot. The game almost seems exhausting sometimes just watching, like, the pregame ceremonies.
Yeah, well, they knew that they were going to do that. They knew that going in, that they were going to try to Vegas up the pregame, give it a little bit of sizzle. The thing looks like it's a Renaissance fair choreographed by Cher and Elton John. I mean, it's just, you know, elaborate. There are knights in shining armor. There are arrows. There's a whole, like, just excitement. You got to get there early. I think it's great. I mean, I think it's great when franchises reflect the local cities that they're in. And certainly the Knights have done that, and boy, it's been a success.
I must admit, I'm not much of a hockey fan unless the Devils make the playoffs and are still in it in May. But I watched the Vegas Knights play a couple of times. That's pretty entertaining hockey.
It is entertaining hockey. And, you know, that's the funny thing about this is that, you know, you can look at sort of like, oh, does this sort of, you know, signal some sort of problem with the expansion draft? Did the hockey screw this up somehow by giving them too many good players? Again, no one saw this. No one looked at the haul that they got in the draft and said, wow, you know, we really messed up. These guys have a playoff contender on their hands. It was not like that at all.
Have they said anything about the Raiders relocating there? They fear the competition?
Well, the Raiders, they are on track to relocate there. I believe they're going to play in their new stadium by 2022, and they will play a couple of seasons in, I believe, UNLV's football stadium before that. I think this bodes well for the Raiders, you know, of course, that the hockey has just had such a flying start. But the other thing we'll see is, you know, how gambling factors into the football situation, too. We'll see how that goes down the road.
Thanks, Jason. Wall Street Journal sports writer Jason Gay. It's 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Tuesday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, it appears that we've evolved so far as humans that it's not enough to just run a marathon anymore. Though for a real challenge, you need to run the 26.2 miles with 100 pounds strapped to your back. That's what a Wisconsin man did over the weekend when he broke the Guinness World Record by finishing a marathon in Green Bay in 6 hours and 27 7 minutes while carrying 100 pounds of extra weight, shattering a record set at a London marathon last year by a full 20 minutes. And William Cockin had other goals for the run besides setting the record, using his run to raise money for a charity that supports armed service members and veterans. He told local TV it took him 17 months to train for the record, and while he doesn't plan to run any more marathons for a while, he is eyeing up a few more Guinness World Records that he thinks he could break.
Man.
One of them maybe could be, you know, fastest marathon ever if he just took the 100 pounds off.
Right.
Right? He's probably, you know, he could probably, you know, half his time if he just took the 100 pounds off, right?
That's like the guys who sprint with those umbrellas.
Yeah,
you know, behind them to slow them down and
right.
create resistance. When you take that off, you feel like you're running as fast as a cheetah.
Yeah.
You know, that'd be the same thing here.
Everybody needs an extra challenge. Nobody can just run 26 Goodness. Miles anymore.
How about just 17 months of training?
Yeah.
I could never do that.
Right, because this is obviously not, he probably didn't run the full 26 miles, but he's probably run at least 15, 20 miles with 100 pounds on his back, right? So, I do not want to take part in that.
Goodness, how did he carry? Was this like a giant vest he was wearing?
Yeah,
did you see what it was?
I think it was like a backpack or a backpack and a vest kind of situation. Yeah, just kind of all over his shoulders and body.
His back and hip doctor, I'm sure, loved that.
yeah, for sure.
Ice bath for 2 days.
Trip to the orthopedist coming up next.
Yep.
And first, Gordon, it was highway road signs. Now it's municipal warning messages that are being infiltrated by hackers. That is, unless it was really zombies that shut down the power in one Florida town over the weekend. The Palm Beach Post reports that Lake Worth residents received a warning message during a power outage on Sunday. The alert said that more than 7,000 customers lost power, quote, due to extreme zombie activity. The city later posted a Facebook message saying officials were investigating the bogus alert and that they wanted to reiterate that Lake Worth does not have any zombie activity currently. Currently, interesting.
Currently.
Over 7,800 customers lost power, but it was restored within 30 minutes. No word on what actually caused the outage, leaving open the possibility that it was, in fact, the undead.
Whoa.
Because of the wording of what this official said, currently.
Currently.
Yeah, that sounds a little fishy to me.
Yeah, the apostrophe followed by the currently.
Yes.
Really makes you think, wow, there's...
Right.
There is a possibility here.
Power's back on now. Sure, the zombies have been eradicated, but 20 minutes ago, we were overrun with zombies.
See, I never considered the undead as hackers.
No.
I may be wrong, because I'm not into that. But.
Right. We're not saying that they actually hacked the sign, but saying somebody sort of legitimately maybe put out that there were zombies actually taking down the power.
I see, yes.
But it was the zombies who actually took the power down. I think that's what we're alleging here anyway.
The story is much deeper than I initially thought,
yes.
I must say.
Further investigation needed.
This gets to the point that somebody made on this show one time, which basically says there are two kinds of entities in this world.
Yeah.
Those that have been hacked and those that don't know they've been hacked.
Right. Right.
13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for four straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in advanced manufacturing, cybersecurity, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan as the most improved state for business. To learn more, visit michiganbusiness.org. Glad you could spend part of your Tuesday with us. People who eat an egg just about every day may have a lower risk of heart attack and stroke than individuals who don't eat eggs at all. Reuters examined the findings of a large study by researchers in China. Researchers examined survey data on egg consumption among 461,000 adults who were 51 years old on average. Compared to people who never ate eggs, individuals who ate an average of about 3/4 of an egg per day were 11% less likely to develop cardiovascular diseases. But that does not mean you should be rushing to make a 3-egg omelet every day. That's because the study doesn't look at risks associated with more than one egg a day. A doctor from the Western University Stroke Prevention and Atherosclerosis Research Center in London, Ontario, who was not a researcher here, says eggs are not safe for anyone at risk of heart attack or strokes. He says eggs increase the risk of vascular disease because egg yolks contain a chemical that can contribute to clogged arteries. 8 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
According to the White House, has brokered an agreement with intelligence and law enforcement officials that will allow Republican congressional leaders to view some of the most highly classified information related to the Russia investigation. For months, a small group of lawmakers close to President Trump have been in a fight with the Justice Department over access to some of its most delicate case files. Until yesterday, intelligence and law enforcement officials had strenuously resisted the demands, saying the information was highly sensitive and not appropriate to turn over unredacted. A senior Iranian military commander is scoffing at U.S. threats to tighten sanctions, saying the Islamic Republic's people would respond by punching Secretary of State Mike Pompeo in the mouth. Pompeo yesterday demanded Iran make sweeping changes that would effectively force it to reverse the recent spread of its military and political influence through the Middle East to the shores of the Mediterranean Sea.
Iran must end its proliferation of ballistic missiles and halt further launching or development of nuclear-capable missile systems.
The Iranian official responded by saying the people of Iran should stand united in the face of this, and they will deliver a strong punch to the mouth of the American Secretary of State and anyone who backs them. Molten lava from the erupting Kilauea volcano on Hawaii's Big Island crept onto a geothermal power plant site yesterday as workers rushed to shut down the facility to prevent the uncontrollable release of toxic gases. Crews worked into the night to cap the final well at the plant, which provides about 25% of the Big Island's power. Four states will cast ballots today as the 2018 midterm elections take shape. Voters in Arkansas, Georgia, and Kentucky hold primaries, while Texans settle several primary runoffs after their first round of voting in March. More bad news for Tesla as Consumer Reports says it will not give the Model 3 electric car a buy rating. The magazine cites long emergency stopping distances, hard-to-use controls, and a harsh ride as the reasons. Tesla responded that its 60-to-0 braking distance is lower than what Consumer Reports says. The Model 3, which has been plagued by production delays, is Tesla's first bid to appeal to mass-market buyers. It starts at $35,000 but can run as high as $78,000.
How's that possible? Do you buy the tires? And then you got to add on the frame and stuff for $78,000.
It gets very fancy.
What?
I don't know.
Thank you, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Texas teenager Lewis Jordan was in downtown Houston waiting to give his mother a ride home from work when he saw another woman waiting for a lift in her wheelchair, unsheltered in the oppressive heat. She'd been waiting for Metrolift, a public transportation service for the disabled. Mr. Jordan told KTRK TV it was unbearably hot, so he wouldn't want to be out there in the sun. So he grabbed an umbrella from his car to provide shade for the woman, holding it while keeping her company. He told the TV station it was going to be a little longer for the Metrolift to come and get her, ultimately waiting with the woman in the sun for an hour and 45 minutes. While they waited, the pair found plenty of things to talk about, like her book club and their shared love of pork chops. Jordan's mother, Burnett Botts, snapped a photo of her son that went viral. The young man and his new friend now wait for the bus under his umbrella on a fairly regular basis. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.